Well, welcome to Saturday. I feel like, we do get a chance to talk because I'm here every Tuesday with Marty Griffin. But the first Saturday of the month is important because we do a show called Minority Health Matters. And today we're going to do a subject. We're going to spend the whole hour talking about a subject that's near and dear to my heart for a couple of reasons. First, breast cancer. When you look at the statistics, just think about this for a second. 2022, this year, the American Cancer Society estimates some 287,850 new cases of breast cancer will be diagnosed. Let me just say that number again, 287,850 new cases. Now, why is this so important to me? Well, there is absolutely a disparity when it comes to race. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer. One in five black women have breast cancer with triple negative. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Black women have a higher chance of developing breast cancer before the age of 40. At every age, black women are more likely to die from breast cancer than any race or ethnicity. So race is a factor when we talk about breast cancer. Why are we talking about it now? Well, full disclosure, an organization that I am involved with, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, is bringing its national mammogram bus to Pittsburgh and offering free mammograms to women who are uninsured, to men who are uninsured. And there's some specifics we'll talk about later. But I want to dispel some of the myths because, a lot of times when we hear about breast cancer, we think it affects older women. We think it affects women who have a genetic disposition to it. And guess what? That's not necessarily the case at all. So we're going to dispel some of the myths. My first guest is Jessica Wilson. Jessica is a native Pittsburgher. She's currently living in Atlanta, Georgia, and she is a self-advocacy coach. How did she become that? Well, she did that while fighting for herself, once she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Just by way of background, so that you know what we're dealing with here, Jessica has a bachelor's degree in industrial engineering from the University of Pittsburgh. She has a master's degree in industrial and systems engineering from the University of Florida. And she has her MBA from the University of Florida, too. So if anyone knows how to self-advocate, it is Jessica Wilson. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
I am so happy to have you because I think your story is so important that everyone, the whole world needs to hear. So hopefully folks are tuning in. And let me just say this as well. This will also be podcast on our odyssey.com website. So if you want to share it, you guys out there, you can and do that. I also need to, just a matter of housekeeping, remind you that this Minority Health Matters is a show that we do in cooperation with the Gateway Medical Society, which is an organization of African American doctors who focus on specifically making sure that there is a pipeline of future doctors. That said, Jessica, start with your story. You are in your mid-30s.
Yes, ma'am.
Now,
So,
you're at an age where you were not getting regular mammograms, correct?
no, I was not. And having no family history, there was no real reason for me to consider getting regular mammograms at such a young age.
And before you get into the details of your story, at that age, at the age in which you were diagnosed, was breast cancer even on your radar mentally?
Not at all. I, again, had no familiarity with it. No female family members have experienced it really. So, no. No one in my circle had had it. No, not thinking about it at all.
All right. So what happened?
So I noticed that one of my breasts was getting slightly larger than the other, but I also have fibroids in my breast, so I really didn't think too much of it. I figured I'll just bring it up to my gynecologist during my annual appointment. So I had my annual in a couple of months, went and talked to my doctor about it, and he said, "Well, you naturally have lumpy, bumpy breasts. So let's just go ahead and get you an ultrasound and a mammogram, just to ease our fears, ease our worries." Well, that was right at the beginning of the pandemic. So this is early 2020. So doctor's offices are switching to doing things virtual. People are just kind of slamming on the brakes. We're all trying to figure out what is life anymore. So it took me a while to be able to get in for the ultrasound and the mammogram. But once I got in there, it quickly went from, we can't really see anything on this mammogram because the tissue is so dense. Let's just go ahead and get you this ultrasound. And then, we think you need a biopsy. And I had a biopsy on Monday, and I was diagnosed with stage 3 inflammatory breast cancer on Friday.
Wow. So many things to follow up on. So your first thought was what? I mean, that's a lot of information to have to digest and react to, and I'm guessing in a pretty short period of time.
Oh, very short period of time, because everyone wants to just hit the ground running and do the next steps. And to answer your initial question, my first thought was, well, there are only 4 stages to cancer, so you mean to tell me mine has been caught at stage 3? And all of the thoughts that kind of surround that. So I'm trying to figure out how to cope with that emotionally. I also have 2 young children, trying to figure out what that could potentially mean for them, all the while trying to let the logical part of my brain kick in. Okay, step 1, let's go get this port in place. Step 2, let's figure out what the plan is for chemo. What is the plan for radiation? Am I going to need it? What does reconstructive surgery look like? Will I need to get a mastectomy? All of these things, and trying to place them kind of in the appropriate order on the timeline.
And to go back for just a second, when your gynecologist said, well, you have lumpy, bumpy breasts, I think that's something that we've all been told at one point in time, and we don't think much of it.
Right. We're often told that, and we're also often told that we as Black women just have more dense breasts. So sometimes it could be a little more difficult to get clear imaging, or imaging that's actually not going to give you a false positive or a false negative.
So basically, in an instant, your whole life changed.
Completely.
Hardest thing after that, telling your husband, telling your family. Your kids would have been too small, too young to try to explain this to, correct?
Correct. I haven't explained anything to them yet as far as a cancer diagnosis goes. I would say the hardest thing, well, I didn't have to tell my husband because luckily they allowed him to attend that appointment with me where I was delivered that news. So I didn't have to be alone, because that's another part of battling breast cancer during a pandemic that gets a little bit tough. So I didn't gratefully have to give him that information. We heard it at the same time. It was having to inform my family and my close friends, which pretty much are family, that, hey, I'm going to now be embarking on pretty much the toughest battle of my life.
Absolutely. And that was 3 years ago now?
July 2020. So we're coming up on 2 years.
Okay. So a lot's happened in that 2 years.
Yes, ma'am. A lot has happened, good and bad.
And at what point, and I want to try to bring this all together before we take a commercial break. When I introduced you as a self-advocacy coach. At what point in this journey did you realize the importance of self-advocacy?
Whenever I had to make the decision to switch from my initial oncologist to the current oncologist and medical team I have now.
Okay, we're going to have to fill in that gap, but let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. We have a lot more to talk about. This is Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. I am thrilled. And again, I feel like full disclosure, I have known Jessica since, a long time. Jessica and my daughter are good friends, which is why I know so much about her story, but I thought it was important that we share it. So I'm glad she's with us today on Minority Health Matters. You're listening to KDKA. Well, if you know anything about me, by the way, I am Lynn Hayes Freeland. You know what I do on the first Saturday of the month, a show called Minority Health Matters, where we focus specifically on the health concerns, issues in the Black community. We're focused this month, this week's show, on breast cancer and specifically outcomes for African-American women. We're taking a two-pronged approach to our conversation. Right now, I am talking to Jessica Wilson. Jessica is a native Pittsburgher. She currently lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and she is fighting breast cancer even as we speak. And so I want to circle back to that, Jessica, because you mentioned that you realized you had to advocate for yourself when you ran into an issue or a concern with your original oncologist.
Correct. So initially, I had done what most of us do, and I went with an oncologist that was in the same hospital network as my OBGYN. I mean, why not? I had had great success with them up until this point. They did an awesome job delivering my twin girls, so why not? So I went with the oncologist that was assigned to me, and very early on, I saw that this relationship was not going to work for me. He showed up to a few of my appointments late, sometimes up to 40 minutes late.
Wow.
Whenever he would get into the room, there would be no apologies, no explanations offered. And then once he was kind of going over, as I mentioned before, what the plan of attack would be, once he saw in my chart that I was an engineer, he stopped speaking to me as if I were a patient and started speaking to me as if I were a colleague. And his exact words were, well, you're an engineer, you understand all this stuff. And I'm sitting there like a deer in headlights because, A, no, I don't. I am an engineer. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I'm not a cancer doctor. And secondly, I have just delivered some news that my life expectancy can be abruptly cut short. I'm in shock right now. Nothing makes sense if anyone was giving me any sort of new information. And so while I was hearing him say these things, I was like, yeah, my life is literally going to be in this man's hands. This is not acceptable. So I decided to speak up to my oncologist, since he was the person that referred me. I spoke up to my breast surgeon, or the person that was going to be my breast surgeon, because she worked closely with the oncologist in the same network. And I said, listen, guys, this isn't working for me, and I think I want to switch down to a different hospital network completely. Not just switch oncologists. I want an entirely new network, because I'm starting to get the vibe that, you know, friends talk, employers talk, doctors talk. And if I'm just going from one oncologist to the next, perhaps they're going to hear what my gripes were. And now, as a Black woman, as a Black person, I always have to keep these other thoughts in the back of my mind, unfortunately. But maybe they're not going to appreciate how I interacted with this oncologist. So what if they kind of hold that against me with this new one?
Right.
The safest bet would be for me to switch hospital networks completely. And I had one chemo treatment at the initial place. And since then, every single other treatment has been done down at my new hospital and hospital network. And it was at that point that I was like, so yeah, this kind of came natural to me. How many other people are out here in shock, pretty much, and unable or unaware of how to effectively speak up and say, hey, this doesn't seem right. I don't like this. I want to change. And that's how I decided to become a self-advocacy coach.
So, I mean, did you realize that you were that strong of a person, that strong of a woman? Because let's be honest, we're talking about life-changing information. We're talking about life-changing decisions. And we're talking about standing up to a medical team or a doctor, however you want to look at it, where we have always been conditioned that the doctor's the smartest person in the room, so we should just do whatever they tell us.
Oh, absolutely. The doctors are always right. You're supposed to always listen to a police officer. When it comes to us and people of authority, or people that we even just simply perceive in places of authority, a lot of times, like you said, we've been conditioned to just, all right, let's just do what they say because they know best. They're always right. I've always pretty much been a little bit of a rebel, and I've always been one to have no issue speaking up if I didn't think something was right. So I always knew I had this skill set. It doesn't really click in my brain sometimes that what's common to me may not necessarily be common to everybody. So, yes, I always considered myself kind of stronger, definitely strong-willed, not afraid to speak up. But in the end, in the grand scheme, no one's prepared to get a cancer diagnosis, especially in their 30s. So I like to say you don't really know how strong you are until being strong is the only option that you have. So for myself, for my family, for my girls, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to fight.
And you're going to fight. So where are you in your fight? So you've had chemo. Did you have a mastectomy?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I had a left mastectomy, yes.
Okay. All right. And so you're still fighting, though?
Yes, ma'am. Still fighting. This triple negative breast cancer is one of the trickiest ones to try to combat. Because unlike some of the other breast cancers, it's called triple negative because it doesn't have receptors on it that are responsive to estrogen or progesterone or another protein called HER2. And if you can figure out what the cancer likes, what it's yearning for, then you can kind of stifle that from it and kill it off that way. With triple negative breast cancer, it's not looking for any of those things. So you pretty much have to throw everything in the kitchen sink at it to get it to go away and stay away. And so I've had several rounds of chemo. I've had the mastectomy. Didn't get to start radiation because after the mastectomy, the cancer came back that quickly. And so we're just going through the motions of doing more chemo and trying to find the one that works.
So one of the reasons why I wanted to focus on this conversation today is because there is going to be an opportunity coming up in May for women and men in the Pittsburgh area to get a free mammogram if they do not have insurance. And so for a lot of men and women, I feel like we always talk to the women, but the realities are breast cancer can also affect men. We have to kind of remind people why this is all so important. What would you say to that?
This is super important for everyone, like you said, men and women of all ages, because clearly this isn't something that just impacts folks of a certain age, especially if you're African American. This impacts all of us. So everyone, go get checked, go get tested for things, go check yourself if it's something you can check yourself for. The best key to survival is early detection. So the sooner you know about something, whether it's cancer or something different, the sooner you know about it, the sooner you can take action.
So we do this show every month, the first Saturday of every month, Minority Health Matters, in cooperation with Gateway Medical Society, which is designed to help get young African Americans in the medical pipeline become find careers in the medical field, because it does make a difference. Weigh in on that for me. What's been your experience? I know you've advocated for yourself. You teach other people to do it. Do you think it's important to have people who understand you?
Oh, absolutely. It is imperative that you have people that understand you, whether it's from your gender's perspective or your race's perspective or your sexual orientation's perspective. A lot of times it helps to have someone that is at least one person on your team that is keen or aware of some of the microaggressions or some of the instances of discrimination so that they can advocate for you whenever you're not in the room. As far as me, my initial oncologist was a person of color that was a man. Mm-hmm. My oncologist now is not a person of color, but she's a woman. So while she's not a person of color, she understands the things that I'm going through from the mother perspective, from the wife perspective, just from being a woman in general. Those nuances that a man may not be able to grasp fully, they can empathize, but they couldn't really put themselves in that position. And I will say that my nurses that work in the infusion center have been paramount. They have been key, because most of my nurses down there are women of color. And so your nurse is the one that's actually giving you the chemo. If they don't get something right, that's the place where, you know, lives can be made or broken. So, again, I love having the oncology nurses around me look like me, who are more keen or more aware to what a reaction might look like in a person of color versus a non-person of color. Is this a rash, or is this something that we don't really need to worry about? Being able to just look in my face and see that today might not be a good day. Let's do something small and make her some paper flowers or something. Just those small things can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica Wilson, we thank you. I could talk to you for a whole hour, but we do have another guest lined up for the next half of the show to talk about some issues in Pittsburgh. But I tell you what, now that our listeners have gotten to know you, we'll get you back on. How about that?
That sounds like an awesome plan.
There you go. We wish you all the best, and thanks for sharing your story, and thanks for teaching us that we can advocate for ourselves. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the news, and after that, we're going to talk with a local doctor about what this landscape looks like right here in Pittsburgh. Stick around. It's Minority Health Matters. So it is Saturday, and it's the first Saturday of the month. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and you are listening to Minority Health Matters. So we just spent the last half hour talking with Jessica Wilson about what is basically an amazing journey that she's been on. And I use that to set the stage to talk about black outcomes for black women, things here in Pittsburgh, and of course, the opportunity to get a free mammogram if, in fact, you are uninsured in the Pittsburgh area, courtesy of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And joining me now, wearing a couple of different hats, is Dr. Anita Edwards. She is an internal medicine specialist. We do this show, Minority Health Matters, in cooperation with the Gateway Medical Society. Dr. Edwards is the treasurer and program chair for the Gateway Medical Society. She's also the medical director for Highmark Whole Care, and she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. So she brings it all to the table. Welcome, Dr. Edwards.
Good afternoon.
I should say welcome back.
Lynn.
I should say welcome back because you've been on the show with us in the past. Let's first start just kind of on this thing about mammograms. I have learned in the last week in preparing for this show that apparently women of color in particular often think if there isn't a family history that the likelihood of getting breast cancer is relatively small. Where did we get that from, or is that just one of those myths that just keeps getting passed on and on?
So definitely family history will increase your risk of getting mm-hmm. breast cancer. So, you know, we know that is a group that definitely should be getting mammograms. But every woman has some risk of breast cancer. And so, therefore, every woman who is probably over the age of 40 should be getting their yearly mammograms, or their baseline somewhere between the age of 30 and 35. And then getting mammograms yearly after that when they turn 40. So I do think it's a myth. Not only a myth, but I know the last time we talked about how African-American families don't always tell about history.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is also one of the things that may play a part in that we don't always know our history. We don't share it readily, so you mm-hmm. can't always be guaranteed that no one in your family doesn't have a particular illness.
So two things come to mind. One, when we were talking with Jessica earlier, she said that initially her gynecologist said, well, you have bumpy, lumpy breasts. I think we've all been told that at some point in time.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, what it is that especially when you're younger, your breasts are, you know, they're more fibrous, they're more dense, which is why sometimes mammograms don't work for younger ladies as much as it does for older women, because you can't get through that denseness and that thickness of the breast always with a mammogram. Most of us, you know, we feel them, they feel lumpy, they feel bumpy, and it makes us very concerned when we're trying to do our own breast exam, because you don't know what you're feeling. What I always try to tell females is do that same breast exam at least once a month. And because of the very fact that if you got used to feeling your breast, then you would notice the difference. And it's not your job to know if it's abnormal or not. All we need you to know is that there's a difference.
That there's a difference.
Right. And so, it's just like, you know, you're taking a shower. You notice when there's a new bump on your skin or something is new on your face. So you would notice the same with your breasts if you were examining them on a regular basis.
And so that's a good way for us to kind of segue into mammograms. But that really is where you start, those monthly self-breast exams.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's not enough to say, oh, my partner does my breast exam, that doesn't count. You have to be responsible to do your own self-breast exam.
Okay, so now, starting with the self-breast exam, then where does the, what role does the mammogram play?
Well, number one, even when you're doing a self-breast exam, that means that the lump or mass has gotten to the size where you can feel it. And so that may mean you have significant amount of disease by the time you're feeling it. And that does not negate that you should do it. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But mammograms are able to pick up much smaller lumps, bumps, even what we call just calcifications, which you would never feel, but maybe can detect at a much earlier stage, which if it was cancer, would make it more likely that it's curable, and may even lessen the amount of treatment that you would have to go through if it was actually cancer, you know, if it was actually cancer.
So, and again, I feel like I have to keep repeating this, you know, full disclosure, full transparency. Dr. Edwards and I are both members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, and it is our sorority that is bringing a free 3D mammogram mobile event to the Pittsburgh area for men and women who are uninsured, and then there are a couple other things that we'll get into for just a second. But let me ask you this. Does insurance... Does that create an obstacle for women to get a mammogram? Like, if you don't have insurance, you're just not going to get it because it's cost prohibitive?
Well, it is cost prohibitive if you don't have the insurance. Mm-hmm. There are many agencies out there who do help try to get free mammograms for women. Left my mind, but Susan Komen, I don't think is in our area anymore, but she used to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And
Adagio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adagio. I believe they're another organization in this area that will help to get free mammograms. So there are organizations that do help women who have never had a mammogram attempt to get that free mammogram.
But you got to go look for it. You got to go search for it. And so then I'm guessing this is like anything else. If you have to jump through too many hoops, you probably don't do it.
Right. Well, you know, you think about the group that we're talking about, at least when they're starting, we're talking about women in their 40s who should be doing this. That means they're still probably with children in the house. They may still be actively working, even if they don't have insurance. You know, it doesn't mean that you're still not working. And so it's not easy to take time to search for these kind of organizations who may help you. Between what you have to do for your children, what you're doing for yourself, what you're doing for work, you don't have time in the middle of the day always just to make these phone calls, even though it's important, but that, I mean, you know, that's an obstacle. Travel is also an obstacle for a lot of people. You know, is the place where you have to go, is it some place that you can readily get to? Can you bring your children, you know, if you're trying to get a mammogram, what will you do with your children at the time that you're trying to get that mammogram? It is sad, but many of our people use the emergency room for a lot of their care, and this is probably something they could never go to to an emergency room and get a mammogram. You know, even if they felt a lot, you know, even if they felt the lump, they're not going to say, "Oh, let's do a mammogram in the emergency room." So,
interesting. And then to just kind of circle back, when you mentioned transportation and children, and I believe this is something that we have talked about before. When we talk about accessibility, it's not always where something is located. It is what it takes to get there. It is the reception that you receive when you get there. All of those things speak to accessibility and whether or not someone's willing to take that extra step.
Right. Yeah, you know, social determinants of health, we have determined very much go by zip codes, but when you look at those zip codes, they are so much in the areas that we live in. Just two talks that Gateway just had, we talked, and I had never realized how Pittsburgh has redlined, you know, where we have been redlined into certain areas where our property is, but also in those areas you don't have your grocery stores, you don't have good transportation, you don't, you know, something else we were looking at, is that there's not a lot of urgent cares in those areas. There's not a lot of physicians in those areas. So the areas where we live usually don't have good accessibility to health care.
I don't have a whole lot of stuff. Well, that's going to change on May 17th and 18th. That's when the mobile screening unit is going to be over at Heinz Field at the Great FedEx Great Hall. We'll talk more about that, how you can register. And I want to just circle back as well I want to just look at why, if we have any idea why black women don't necessarily have the same outcomes as other women after breast cancer, but we'll do all of that after this commercial break. You're listening to Minority Health Matters. You're listening to Minority Health Matters. Let me just point out, we're going to talk a little more in depth about the free 3D mammogram mobile event that's coming to our area May 17th and 18th. I am posting the flyer, the information about that right now, even as we speak on my Facebook page. It's Lynn Hayes Freeland News Radio 1020. There's also one of those little code things. I think it's like a QR code. You can scan that and it'll take you right there. It'll be a phone number. My guest today is Dr. Anita Edwards. She wears a bunch of different hats. She is a physician. She is the treasurer, the program chair with Gateway Medical Society. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and she's the medical director at Highmark Whole Care, and she's joining me now to talk about all of this. Before we get back to the mammogram and this this unit, I want to just ask you, and I got so many papers here, but one of the things I read earlier today, Dr. Edwards, was that black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer. That's thought to be partially because 1 in 5 black women with breast cancer have triple negative breast cancer. But my question is, do things like mammograms help to make a difference?
Well, definitely. I mean, especially with like triple negative breast cancer, hopefully if you're catching it early, there is treatment for it. So it doesn't mean that you have to die from breast cancer. It is definitely treatable, but the main thing is catching it as early as you possibly can. So, you know, as the younger the woman is, the probably even the more important, because as you were talking about those rates, we know that women who are younger than 45, they have a higher incidence of breast cancer than our counterparts of Caucasian females. Generally, the thought has usually is that black women don't get cancer as often, but we do know when we're younger, because of the triple negative breast cancer, that we get it more often in that age group.
Mm.
So again, it is so important for young women, older women also, but young women, to be getting their mammogram. Because triple negative, and what that means is that you have two hormones and another receptor that they look at on your breast cancer. One is estrogen, one is progesterone, and one is a HERS. And for most cancers, they are usually estrogen positive, progesterone positive, and HERS negative. That is usually the most common you see. And so therefore, there's a lot of treatments out there for that. But when you see HERS, when you see all three of them are negative, then it limits the amount of treatment that one can receive. So that's why you want to get it early, so that you can try not to have this have advanced and even metastasized throughout your body. So.
Wow. How about that? I learn something new every day. I've heard that term triple negative a gazillion times, but I didn't really know what it meant until just now. So I thank you, Dr. Edwards, for that. So now let's talk about the event coming up May 17th and 18th. It's going to be at Heinz Field in the FedEx Great Hall. This is an effort of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, the Pittsburgh chapter, Alpha Alpha Omega is sponsoring this event along with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a big deal.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. At least 4 years ago, Alpha Alpha Omega decided to have this mammogram bus. And from what we understand, it's already been to 40 cities. I know as a member of Alpha Alpha Omega, when we first found out about it, I started advocating very hard that trying to get this bus here, because I think it's very important that we try to give women who are underprivileged mammograms. And so this is exciting that it took 4 years, but it is exciting that we are able to bring this bus here and that we are able to give this opportunity to our community. All organizations are excited right now, the churches, FQHCs, others of the Divine Nine, you know, everybody is really getting on board. If you talk to somebody, they already know about it. Mm-hmm, so it is just exciting that everyone understands the importance of having this bus here and is willing to work together to do this.
To make it happen. So let's talk about who is this for? We mentioned if you don't have insurance, but you should be, what, at least age 40? Are there other things that we need to take, that folks need to take into consideration?
Well, this is called a screening mammogram.
Okay.
So we're looking at people who don't have a history of breast cancer. You know, if you have a history, then you hopefully are already following with your doctor and getting that yearly test or whatever test your doctor is telling you to have.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you have a lump, I wouldn't say this is the place you need to go. You need to be finding a doctor so they can do a more diagnostic kind of mammogram. This is for that woman who has either never had a mammogram or you've had them, but you've fallen into a place where you don't have the insurance to continue getting them, and you know you need that screening test that you should be getting every year. And that's who we're looking for. And not only females, I think we're also offering them to males. Men don't get breast cancer as often, but it is something that can happen, especially if you do have a family history of breast cancer. So also men can think about the screening, especially if they have family history.
All right. Now, the event is going to be May 17th, May 18th at the FedEx Great Hall over at Heinz Field. And there's also going to be other screenings available that day.
Yes. Making this a very large event, I believe we're going to check you for diabetes. I think hopefully we'll be able to do eye exams there, blood pressure. I think they're looking at cholesterol, but we're trying to do an all-one-in pitch for all the things that African-Americans probably are more, have potential to have more mortality, more morbidity and mortality from. If, you know, we are more prone for diabetes. We have a higher rate of diabetes, a higher rate of heart disease, hypertension, stroke, and then, as we just talked about, with breast cancer, prostate cancer in our males, you know. We don't have good records itself.
Right. And a lot of these are things that the world started to at least become aware of when we were looking at disparities with COVID. But sadly, like everything else, everybody was talking about this 2.5 years ago, but not so much now.
Yes, you're right. And the sad part was so many people put it off during the COVID time because they were, you know, concerned, scared about going to the doctors, about going to the hospital. So actually, they're seeing an increased incidence right now of cancer because, you know, it's kind of late. And so more people who probably should have been diagnosed earlier may be getting diagnosed now. So this is, if you did not get your screenings during this time, that time, this is the perfect time to start trying to come out and start doing your screenings all over again.
Because, absolutely. Now, let's talk about the event is May 17th and May 18th, but folks do need to register by May 3rd, so they do need to do that now. And again, I put the flyer on my Facebook page, and you can scan that QR code. But there's a phone number where folks can call and register?
Right. So there's a phone number. I think that you can also do it by web. If you're on the online, you can register online. And then, as you're saying, if you got a smartphone, you can scan the code, and it will also take you to the site to register. So they're trying to make this as convenient as possible for registration, but it's very important that you register. As you know, most tests like this, you don't, they will take walk-ups, but they're really needing you to register because, you know, it's a scheduled test. They need to know how many people are coming in and what time so they have the right staff and the number of people. I think the bus is going to be there from 8 to 5. So, you know, they have them slotted out how often people can get in there. And, you know, and if you come a little early, then like we said, we have other things that, you know, we will be able to help you maneuver through. We hope to have all kinds of education there for you about these various things, even more education about breast cancer along with the other health things we're talking about. So we're just hoping that we're able to provide people with a lot of education. I think, you know, they always say education is what the knowledge is what we need.
Is what we need.
Without knowledge, my people perish. So we know we need knowledge.
We need the knowledge. Dr. Anita Edwards, I thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of information, I know. But guess what? It's all going to be on my Facebook, Lynn Hayes Freeland, News Radio 1020. We'll have the flyer. We'll have the interviews, all of that good stuff. Because, again, she just told you about knowledge. I don't have to say anything else. I'm Lynn Hayes Freeland. I thank you for joining me, and I'll see you on the first Saturday of May for Minority Health Matters.